There's just a couple things that that I want to announce today. First and foremost, how many of you know school's beginning, going to start in just a couple weeks here? Yes? We know that? I know. I'm not real happy about it either, guys, just so you know. I like it when summer break is on. But one thing we like to do here at the River Church is we like to pray over our students before they go back to school. We're going to be doing that next Sunday. During service, we're going to be praying for our students, our teachers, anybody going back to university. We just believe that it's an important thing for us to do at the front of the year, the school year, because how many of you know God has a plan for this school year? Yeah? And so we just want to declare the goodness of God and His favor over our students. That's all students and teachers. And we just believe that our schools and our universities will be filled with the presence of a mighty living God. Amen? So next Sunday, I want to encourage you guys, have your kids here, be here, because I think it's important that we pray over them as a church body. Whether they're going to, you know, whether they're homeschool, public school, private school, university, it doesn't matter. We need to pray over our students. Amen? So next Sunday, we will be doing that. And so I just really think that that's an important thing for us to do. Would you commit with me that we'll do that? Yes? Amen. Okay. The other thing I would like to do real quick, and he doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I want to honor John Pettit real quick. Everybody look at John Pettit back there. Wave at us, John. Look at him. Get out from behind the stage. John, we want to honor you. He has actually this week has just retired from 20 years in the Euless Police Department. And that is... Praise God. Amen. Praise God. John, we're so grateful for you. Thank you so much for 20 years of serving our communities, our families. These things need to be recognized. Amen. And God says, recognize and honor faithful men. And to be faithful to that for 20 years, we salute you, sir. We're grateful for you. We're very proud of you. I just want to pray blessing over his family because I know, Tracy, I know you're happy. Yeah. And, listen, you guys, it's always so challenging for officers' wives because, you know, we have Shane Tackett over here as well. You know, when these guys get up and they go to work, there's a very real possibility that they don't come home that day. And for that grace to be upon a family. So I just feel like we just need to pray and just bless them. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the Pettit family. I thank you, God, for protecting and keeping John safe throughout his 20 years. And I thank you, God, for his heart to serve. And we bless him and his family and the work of his hands because we know Tracy's going to keep him busy over the rest of his days. And I thank you, God, for your faithfulness to their family. And we bless them in Jesus' name. Father, I also want to pray over all of our police officers and first responders. And I just declare your hedge of protection around them, that they would be safe. And that every day when they leave, that they would leave with your protection and your angels surrounding them. And Father, that their families would be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen? God is good. Amen? Let's give the Lord praise one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, your word is good. Thank you that you're not a silent God, but you're still speaking to us today. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts prepared to receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Today, I want to continue our Amp Up series, and we're still talking about praise. We're going to be talking a little bit today about the benefits of praise, and hopefully I'm going to move quickly this morning, and then we're going to go out praising again. Come on, how many of you know you can't praise too much, right? So we're going to go out praising again today. The worship team knows they're going to be back up. We're going to raise a hallelujah one more time because it's one thing to talk about praise, but we can't just talk about it and leave. We got to do it, right? All right, so today we're going to be talking a little bit about the benefits of praise. I want to look at Psalm 103, verse 2 to begin with this morning. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." How many of you know God? When we serve God, serving God comes with benefits? Yes? praise benefits us. You know, how many of you know that praise and worship is for God? Come on. But there is nothing that you do for God that doesn't benefit you. God is generous by his very nature, and that whenever we come before him and whenever we live a lifestyle of praise, we will begin to walk in the benefits of that praise. Amen? Well, now listen, why do we praise the Lord? Well, we do so because he's worthy, right? How many of you know we don't praise because we have an expectation of getting something? We praise because he's worthy. I'm going to tell you right now, if God never did anything else for you the rest of your life, it doesn't change the fact that he is worthy. Come on. He's worthy. So we have to walk in a lifestyle of praise that gives due to God because he is worthy. But because God is a giver by his very nature, you can't outgive him. You can't, as much as you give to God, he will always give back more. Somebody say amen. See, whenever you begin to praise, give praise and glory to God, he'll begin to deal in this little thing called multiplication in your life. How many of you know God doesn't work in addition and subtraction? He works in multiplication. Amen? See, God always does better. God always does better. How many of you have heard this verse? Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, "Given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Now listen, we typically use this scripture in the context of finances and giving and tithes and offerings. That's typically, how many of you have ever heard that scripture used there? And it's good, and it applies there as well. But really, there's a principle in play here that we're really talking about. It's that whenever you give toward God, his response is to begin to give back to you. That's the way he works. And that when he does begin to give back to you, that he doesn't just give back in the same measure that you give. He gives back ever more generously. Amen? Come on, you guys don't seem convinced about that this morning. Amen? Listen, if you want to test God on anything, test him on that. Try him out, I promise you. Living with generosity. I'm not talking just about money. Guys, listen, money has a part of it, but that's not the whole picture. We make money the whole picture. It's not the whole picture. Man, generosity is, are you generous with your praise? Are you generous with your kindness? Are you generous with your goodness? Are you generous in your faithfulness? Come on. Are you generous in your time, in your commitment? Are you generous with the people that God has placed in your life? See, generosity is a byproduct of praise. That as you begin to praise God, you begin to see the multiplication work in your life. If you start blessing God, he's going to bless you more than you could ever bless him. Amen? Praise allows his love to manifest in our lives so that we can live in the absolute fullness of who he is. How many of you want to live in the fullness of God? Amen? Okay, good. Half of you do. The rest of you, you can keep struggling. That's your choice. That's up to you. I want to live in the fullness of everything that God has for me. Yeah? And in order to do that, we got to understand that we have to be a people who live a lifestyle of praise. Because when we praise, he inhabits that space and it brings him pleasure. Zephaniah, how many of you read Zephaniah this week? Be honest. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save." Somebody say amen. "He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." We already talked about that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And so when God comes in our midst, when two or three gather together, or we're in our prayer closet, we begin to praise, and all of a sudden the presence of the living God is recognized, and he comes and he begins to live in your situation. I want you to know he's not coming begrudgingly. He's happy to be there. He's like that really eager party guest, right? You ever have a party and you say the time is that we're going to be at 4:00 and they show up at 3:30 and you're not ready, but they are because they're super excited. And not only that, they showed up and they brought things you didn't even ask them to bring. Be like, oh no, I forgot ice. Don't worry, we brought it. Those people are awesome. See, when God shows up, he shows up gladly. Listen, he is not upset to live with you. He wants to be in your midst. He wants to be in your presence. And when we invite him to come and sit down in the middle of a situation, he doesn't just show up and cross his arms and say, well, impress me. He shows up and he says, I came and I brought all of me. Everything that I have, all that I am fully engaged in this moment. Isn't that awesome? God doesn't show up cheap. Everything he does is expensive. Isn't that awesome? So he comes and he shows up, and as we begin to praise, we begin to live in the benefits of praise. And we're going to talk, I'm going to give you 5 benefits this morning, and I'm going to move quickly if that's okay. Yes? I mean, I can go slow if you want. I mean, I can take my time, drag this out, and we can go to lunch at 2:30, like back in the good old days. Y'all remember the good old days of church? Where you didn't have service unless it went 3.5 hours? Thank goodness we're past that one. All right, sorry. I don't have that attention span, just so you guys know. I can't get through that. Number one, praise gives us access to his presence. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 says this, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because the cloud for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Here we find Solomon at the dedication of the temple. They had built a place for the Lord to inhabit, a dwelling place for him. Let me ask you a question. Is your life a dwelling place for him? Have you built your life in such a way that he can come and inhabit those spaces? Have you made him welcome to those spaces? And when praise, at this time, when praise began to ring out in the dwelling place of the Lord, his presence began to show up in a dramatic way. Since then, what happened is now we know that Christ has ushered in a new covenant. We have become the temple of God. How many of you know that? Temples aren't built with brick and mortar anymore. Since the new covenant, we are it. Amen? You're living stones. Our bodies have become, our lives have become, our spirits have become, our mind, our wills, and our emotions have become his dwelling place, where he comes and wants to live. And when we praise him, we are given access to him in a deeper measure into his presence. See, I think the reason that is not because God has necessarily not been somewhere. It's that, how many of you know the presence of God is always around? Right? It's just whether or not we're going to recognize his presence. And I think as we begin to praise, what happens is we begin to shift our focus. And as we shift our focus, what happens is we quit looking down at our problems, we start looking at him. And then we become more aware. It's almost like, you know, if you know, like Steve were following me around all day and I just didn't notice he was there. Because he's like a ninja that way. He's very sneaky. Right? But then it's kind of like turning around going, oh, there you are. I'm not focused on the stuff. I'm focused now on his presence. He's been there the whole time. Come on, but beginning to focus on his presence. That's what we need to do. He's been there the whole time. But as we begin to praise, as we begin to enter into that place, all of a sudden we become more aware of who he is and him being there than anything else. And now all of a sudden we are living in a different access than we were before. It was available to us. We just weren't taking hold of it. Come on. So I'm going to tell you something right now. If you ever feel like God is distant and far away, please understand, he did not go anywhere. You might want to check your receptor. You might want to check and see what you've been distracted with. What's been drawing your attention away? Because I'm going to tell you right now, God is always making himself available to us. Praise allows us to see it, to focus on it, and to grab hold of it. Somebody say amen. Number two, praise keeps us humble. How many of you know humility is a good thing? Right? Humility is a good thing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 says this, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Listen, it's hard to become proud or arrogant when we're constantly focused on his worthiness. Amen? It's hard to become boastful in your own right when you're constantly focused on who he is. Therefore, we don't boast in ourselves. We boast in Christ. Amen? Humility is a good thing. Amen? We can only stray from humility when we become inwardly unfocused. When we become inwardly focused. We stray from humility when we begin to focus on ourselves more than we focus on him. How many of you know, when you set yourself up as Lord of your life, that is the antithesis of humility. You're making yourself king. You're making it all about you, how you feel, who you are. But when we shift the focus from ourselves and we begin to put it on who he is, all of a sudden we're not thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about what he desires, what he wants. And it's really, really hard to become inwardly focused when you're looking at him. Man, I'll tell you what, we got a lot of inwardly focused people walking around this planet. We don't need a few more. We've got everybody else looking out for themselves. It's time for the people of God to be about looking at him and be about his business. Amen? A person who is full of praise and thankfulness is a person that acknowledges that it's not their own effort that is producing blessing in their life. I'm going to tell you something right now. Your own effort will produce very minimal blessing in your life that you will have to sustain. But when God begins to bless and we begin to focus on his blessing, humility recognizes where our blessings come from. Every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord. Amen? If you got something good in your life today, it's because God desired to give to you. Amen? Praise reminds us who our source is. To believe that anything other than God is our source is to enter into a place called pride. Come on. Pride in its simplest form is self-centeredness. And praise moves us from being self-centered to God-centered. Amen? You guys okay today? Yep. Number three. Praise reveals God's love. Isn't that awesome? I just want to start before I even read the scripture. God loves you. God loves you. Do you believe that this morning? I'm not talking about the nice little, oh, Jesus loves you. No, he loves you. And he wants to show you how much he loves you. But he can't do that if we're not attuned to him, if we're not focused in on him. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, God is saying to you, I want to show you how much I love you. The width, the height, the depth of it. You know, how many of you, you know, ever when you were a kid or you ever say this to some of your kids, I love you this much, right? And you guys have even heard that, you know, Jesus said, I love you this much, and he stretched out his arms and he went to the cross, right? How many of you ever heard that? We used to teach that in Sunday school. How much does Jesus love you? This much. But how many of you have done that, you know? Or however you may have said this, I love you to the moon and back. Right? What are you trying to do? You're trying to quantify and put a measure. Amen? To love. And God is saying, I want to share with you the measure of my love, which, by the way, we will never comprehend the width, the depth, the height of it. Couldn't even tell us. Amen? See, he desires, part of God's design in his inhabitation of praise is to be close to us. He desires intimacy with us. And as we begin to be God-centered, we learn to focus our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength on him. And when this happens through praise, we will begin to receive a revelation of just how much God loves us. It will be poured out on us. Amen? This revelation begins a tremendous positive cycle in your life. How many of you are tired of negative cycles in your life? You want a positive cycle? Start getting a revelation of how much God loves you. Amen? See, the more we praise and draw close, the deeper we understand his love for us, which causes us to praise even more. You see how the cycle works? You get a glimpse of how much he loves you, and you begin to praise. And then all of a sudden, you see how much more he loves you, and you begin to praise more. And then he shows you more of his love, and you begin to pray. You see how this works? Guys, listen, I'm going to tell you right now. If you can ever get a hold of the fact of how much God loves you, it will revolutionize your life. It'll absolutely change the way you think about faith, the way you think about the world. Listen, it'll change the way you think about religion. I'm going to tell you something right now. Religious rules didn't do a thing for me. Nothing changed in my life until I understood that God loved me. Now listen, we hear that from the time where we're old enough to comprehend. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And we almost treat it like, no, it's kind of like, you know, Jesus loves me because he has to. No, no, no. He doesn't have to do anything. Come on. He chose to. And if you want to see your spiritual walk radically shift, you need to grab a hold of the fact that no matter what you do, no matter how many times you fail, no matter how many times you mess up, you trip up, no matter how many times you make mistakes, no matter how good you are never going to change the fact that God loves you totally and completely as you are. He just loves you too much to leave you that way. It's powerful. We don't serve out of obligation in the church. We serve because we've gotten a hold of the idea that God loves us. And because God loves us, he wants me to tell you that he loves you too. That's why we share our faith. Not because we're trying to win stupid Facebook arguments. Stop that. Just stop. It doesn't do any good. Please. Listen, bless your pastor and just stop. It doesn't help. Nobody ever goes, you're absolutely right. You have convinced me completely and I am ashamed of my ways. And just begin to love people the way Jesus loved people. Do you really want to if you really want to change things, quit trying to be right. And just start loving people. That's it. Because your well-crafted arguments aren't that good anyway. Because somebody can always twist your words. Somebody can always twist your intention. But they cannot twist the reality of God's love for them. If you deal and you struggle with sin in your life, which, by the way, we all do. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. We all do. The way to beat it is not by trying harder. It's about allowing God to love you more. Because I do not want to bring damage to anybody I love. Amen? You guys okay? And if you want a revelation of how much God loves you, you've got to start focusing on him, and praise has to become a part of your life. I'm telling you, this one thing will revolutionize your life more than anything. Because it was, I'm telling you what, I wanted, when I was younger, I wanted nothing to do with church. I was damaged in church. People hurt me in church. People said I wasn't good enough in church. People criticized me in a church. You guys have heard the stories. You know, it's a hard walk back in the 80s and 90s being a heavy metal kid walking into a church. You'd have thought the place was going to fall down on me. But the thing was, is there was something genuinely inside of me that wanted to know what God was about. I liked him, I just didn't like his people. I was good with him. His people were a nightmare. And I said, God, I'll serve you, but your people are wicked. How many of you have ever been hurt by somebody in church? Welcome to the club. Pastor's with you. But it doesn't mean church is bad. It just means that people make mistakes. How many of you have ever made a mistake before? Pastor's with you. And it wasn't until God said to me, can you love these people for my name's sake? I'm going to tell you, my response to him was, oh no, absolutely not. They're terrible. But God began to work on me. I said, God, I'll serve you, just don't make me serve them. He said, no. In order for you to serve me, you have to serve them. I said, God, even the ones that hurt me, especially the ones that hurt you, even the ones that criticized me, especially the ones that criticized you, because I love you, and that should be enough. Amen? You guys okay? I'm happy to report to you, I did not get that right for years. Like a decade. A decade, I resisted that call. A decade. That now I look back, and at the time I thought it was good, just good old-fashioned rebellious defiance and strength. But now I look back and I said, that's a decade I could have been loving people for the sake of Jesus that I've missed out on. So God, help me make up the time. You know, when I finally repented of that, I know I'm taking a little bit of time, but I believe this is for somebody. When I finally repented of that and I said, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want, however you want me to do it, I believe that the Lord called me into ministry much younger than I actually entered into ministry, because I felt like what I did was I rebuked God. I just kept saying, that's not of you, that's the devil talking. I was 30 years old when I came into ministry for the full-time ministry. It was this job here as youth pastor. And what God said to me, he says, I'm going to redeem the time. I said, God, I've wasted so many years. Don't worry, I'm going to redeem the time. 30, I came on full-time staff. First time. It was the only time I was full-time. We'd just been volunteers in a church before then. By 35, I was senior pastor. Y'all, it came too quick. He redeemed the time too quickly. Because, man, I'll tell you what, I did not feel ready. In many days, I still don't. But I know God loves me. And even when I fail, he'll love me still. Amen? I don't know who that's for. That's for somebody. But I'm going to tell you right now, for somebody in this room, God is saying this to you. You may feel like you've wasted time, but I'm going to redeem the time for you. And whatever you thought you lost, I'm going to bring back. Just because I love you. Somebody say amen to that. Number four, worship team, you guys can come. Praise exchanges the negative for the positive. Come on, how many of you know praise turns mourning into dancing? Right? Turns sorrow into joy. Amen? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, negative things are going to come into your life. Bad things are going to happen. You will have an opportunity in your life to feel sorrow. You'll have an opportunity in your life to feel hurt. And I'm going to tell you right now, it will be real and it will be legitimate. But because God loves us, and because we can praise, he can turn our mourning into dancing. Amen? That's why Philippians 4:8 says this: "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." We're commanded to think on only praiseworthy things. And why is this? Because Proverbs 23:7 says this: "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." Whatever you focus on, come on, will determine what becomes the biggest thing in your life. Whatever you think about the most becomes the biggest thing in your life. "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." Amen? What we allow ourselves to meditate on has a tremendous effect on our attitude. Focus on negative things, you're going to end up with negative people. Focus on positive things, you're going to be around praiseworthy people. Come on. Did you know you even feel negativity in your body physically? You feel it physically in your body. Doc would even tell you this, that many patients facing difficult diagnoses have a greater chance if their attitude is positive. It's true. Some people just give up. Isn't that true, Doc? Some people just make a decision. They're done. But other people choose to live. Come on. Choose to live. You know, Karen's grandfather, she called him TikTok Opa. That's what they called him, the German thing. I tell you what, he passed away a couple months ago. He was 93 years old. Starvation tried to kill him. Hitler tried to kill him. The Russians tried to kill him. He survived World War II. He survived a Russian prisoner of war camp for 5 years. He survived alcoholism. After that, he came back home to Germany on Christmas Eve of 49 after 5 years in a Russian prisoner of war camp. He moved to America, immigrated his whole family, outlived two or three of his children. Wasn't a perfect man. Struggled for many years, but always did his best to try to help people. Was saved, praise God, amen. Came to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, showed up at church. You couldn't kill him. And there was always something in him that kept him moving forward. Until recently, he told Karen's brother, he came in one day and Karen's brother sat down and TikTok began to just talk, and he was speaking in German, so David couldn't understand him very well. And he said he just talked for an hour, and then he stopped and he said, "Okay, I'm ready." And it wasn't long after that he passed away. Amazing, isn't it? We feel the effects of negativity in our bodies. You know, God didn't call us to live under that burden. You can only live under that burden for so long before your body breaks down and you begin to show signs of it. It's important that we continue in an attitude of praise. Amen? Guys, this isn't just the power of positive thinking. It's the power of our mighty God who is worthy and us keeping our focus on him. Proverbs 17:22 says this: "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Celebration is a key to victorious living, and we're going to talk about celebration next week. What greater things to celebrate than God and his goodness in our lives? Amen? And we begin to celebrate those things. All of a sudden, we begin to walk in a new level of positivity. And the last thing I'm going to say is this, number five: praise brings freedom. Praise brings freedom. Let me tell you something right now. If we've already established that God inhabits the praises of his people, then that means he is present and accounted for. Amen? How many of you agree that if God inhabits the praises, he's present and accounted for? Say amen. Then 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, "Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Amen? Whatever God inhabits, whatever we praise, God inhabits, right? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. But I'm going to tell you, whenever God shows up, wherever he inhabits is free. Because God will not be bound. God will not be bound. God will not is not going to live in bondage. So when we invite him into our situation, come on, we're inviting liberation there. We're inviting freedom to come. When God comes in, he says, "I'm going to move in, and guess what? I will not be bound. I'm going to set it all free. There will be freedom when I show up." When God inhabits a place, he frees it. He runs off. Come on, he runs off. Any other of the tenants, he will not share his space. Come on, you guys okay with this? So if you want freedom in your life, praise is a key component to freedom coming into your life. Right? How many of you have ever said this before? "God, I praise you and I thank you that I'm free," even when you weren't yet. That's called praising prophetically. You're starting to declare what God is going to do. How many of you know it's good to start thanking God before he gets it, before we see the result of it? Amen? We need to be a people of preemptive praise. I don't see it yet. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to begin to praise right now. And I'm going to start thanking God like it's already done. I'm going to start thanking God like I'm a free man, even though I still feel like I got shackles on me. I'm going to begin to praise like I'm liberated. I'm no longer going to allow myself to be bound down by these things. I'm going to invite God into a situation, and I'm going to allow him to set it free. Amen? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen? How many of you want freedom? Somebody give a shout to the Lord. Amen? Stand to your feet today. Amen? Come on, let's stand up. And this is how we're going to go out today. We've only got a couple minutes before it's time to close this morning. But we've talked about all the benefits. We've talked about all of this. And we've already sang this song, and you may or may not like this song. It doesn't matter if you like this song. How many of you know praise is not dependent on your taste in music? Right? Praise is about us inviting God to come and inhabit a space. So if you want liberty today, if you want freedom today, let this closing song be your invitation to God. See, too many times we give an invitation for you to come. Today we're going to close differently. You're going to give an invitation for God to come and inhabit your space. Amen? Inhabit where you live. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We invite you to come. Do what only you can do. There's no man that's going to save us. It's just you. And we look to you as the author and the finisher, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who will see it through. Our victory rests in you. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's go out singing Raise a Hallelujah. 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 Come on, give the Lord praise as we go today. Now go and raise a hallelujah in every season, in every situation. Amen. And see what the Lord will do. You're blessed. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week. Look forward to praying over our students and our teachers as they prepare for school.